The public got their first look at the Packers rookie class on Tuesday at OTAs. But Patrick Wu of the Senior Bowl got an up-close look at several of these players months ago. He joins the show to discuss several of the Packers draft picks. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking Packers OTAs, but before we get to that, we're going to talk about the Packers rookie class. We have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Patrick Wu of the Senior Bowl. Mr. Wu, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing great. Hope things are going well on your end as well. Excited to get these OTAs started and get closer and closer to football season.
Exactly. It's our first chance to see the 2016 edition of the Green Bay Packers up close and personal, so we're excited to do that. But let's talk about several of these Packers rookies you saw up close and personal back during January at the Senior Bowl. Patrick, I think a good place to start would just be describing your role with the Senior Bowl, your responsibilities, and what you do.
Yeah, well, it's very well-rounded. You know, we have a small staff. There's only six of us in Mobile, but we're very thankful for the hundreds of volunteers that come out and help us out during game week to make our event happen. It wouldn't be possible without them. But because there's only six of us, you know, we've each got to do a lot of things, and we have a lot of community events, coaching NFL flag football. We started a league in the Mobile area last year. That was a lot of fun. So we get to work with little kids just as much as we get to work with these college football players. But mainly I coordinate all of Phil Savage's scouting efforts, all of my scouting efforts, really the scouting efforts of the entire organization is coordinated through me. And I'll get around the country and see a lot of these players. We try to see as many in person as we can. And I think we saw over 200 players in person this year.
Wow. That's a big number. What's it like working with Phil Savage, you know, the executive director of the Senior Bowl and obviously a former general manager in the NFL?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, there's no way to really describe the value that he can bring to an organization like us. His scouting background, I mean, you could argue that he's one of the best evaluators, if not the best, in the league. Of course, he's not in the NFL right now, but I think a lot of scouts would agree and they would vouch for his evaluation ability, what he accomplished with the Baltimore Ravens, the selections he made there from Ray Lewis to Jonathan Ogden. He was essential in those picks. He just brings a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience and also a wealth of people skills and organization. And I think those are two traits that are really, really important when you're trying to lead an organization, especially related to the sports world. And just being able to be taught by him and see things how he sees things, it definitely helps you grow as a person and as an evaluator. And, you know, he's just a laid back guy. He appreciates input from others. I don't know that you can say that about every leader of a football organization out there. So he certainly brings a great atmosphere to the work that we do, and that's really, really important.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about these players. I know our listeners are interested to hear about them. Talking about the players signed by the Green Bay Packers, starting with Jason Spriggs. And now, Patrick, it's not if Spriggs was a complete unknown prior to the Senior Bowl, but I know his stock really seemed to rise there and put himself firmly in the running for, you know, the top offensive tackles in the NFL draft. Can you recall his performance there and what he did to stand out?
Yeah, you know, Jason Spriggs won our Offensive Lineman of the Week award for practice as voted on by a panel of scouts that we trust. And he certainly helped himself out here, you know. He played at Indiana, so he played in the Big Ten. And yet there is still kind of this feeling, I think, about Spriggs, well, he hasn't played anybody or he still has a lot to prove because he played at Indiana. But he went against the Ohio States and the Penn States and the Michigans and Michigan States of the world. So I think that was kind of overlooked a little bit. But you're talking about a four-year starter, He came down here and really showed exactly what he's shown on tape throughout his whole career, the lateral movement ability, a tremendous kick slide, great footwork. But what he was really able to prove down here, I think, was that he's tough, smart, and athletic. And those are three boxes that you really want to check off as an offensive lineman. And everybody knew that he was athletic. That shows up on tape. But I think he really got an up-close look and feel for his toughness and an up-close look and feel to his football IQ down here when the scouts finally get a chance to talk to him for the first time face-to-face.
Yeah, I know people are excited to see him after the offensive line troubles the Packers went through this past year. But as far as the Packers' third-round pick, Kyler Fackrell, goes, can you discuss the challenges of finding talent at smaller schools outside the Power 5 conferences and what Fackrell did to stand out and deserve an invitation to the Senior Bowl?
Well, you know, I don't know that there is a tougher challenge in finding these smaller school players outside the Power 5. I think the tougher challenge was actually for Utah State to find Kyler Fackrell out of high school because if I'm correct here, I believe he was a no-star recruit. He had no FBS offers until Utah State came in, and then he goes on to be a first-team All-Mountain West Conference player, 15 tackles for loss. I mean, once he gets to that level, it makes it easier on the next level in the National Football League and us at the recent Senior Bowl to find him. Obviously, if you're going to play at a competition level outside of the Power 5, you really need to stand out. You really want to dominate. 15 tackles for loss makes that case. First-team All-Conference makes that case. But he's a good athlete. He's a guy that can really bend the edge. I think he needs to get a little bit stronger, but he's shown enough ability to also drop in coverage and has the potential to be an every-down player. So this is a guy who's extremely smart. He's another very mature player. He's married. I believe he has a daughter, and his wife was very, very great as well. So this is a guy who's got a great head on his shoulders and has a lot of athletic ability and played a lot. You know, he started all those years at Utah State after redshirting as a freshman. So, you know, I really think that the tougher challenge was Utah State finding him at a high school than it was for us to find him out at Utah State. I think you scout all these schools the same. You try to scout all these schools the same anyway. I think consistency is the most important thing when it comes to scouting. You want to have every day your routine be the same. You're looking for the same things on tape. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Everybody's got to have that wow factor. And the wow factor to me can be different. It doesn't have to be a, wow, that guy just made one tremendous play. Let's do some more homework on him. It can be that. But I think you're also looking for, wow, this guy's always around the ball, or wow, this guy was really tough on that play, or wow, this guy just has some kind of consistency on his tape. So you're always looking for somebody to stand out, and Fackrell certainly does when you look at Utah State.
We're talking to Patrick Wu of the Senior Bowl here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Patrick, a lot of fans in Green Bay are high on Blake Martinez, if for no other reason, just because of the depth situation at inside linebacker is pretty low in Titletown. And I think Martinez has a chance to come in and see some playing time early on. What do you think he can offer an NFL team?
A lot of confidence. I think Blake Martinez, the thing that I remember most about him, spending time with him during recent Senior Bowl week, is this is a really, really confident, smart guy. He's got a little bit of an edge to him. I know some people may look at Stanford guys and, yeah, they're supposed to be tough on the football field, but off the field, they're supposed to be nerdy and geeky and like somebody who goes to a really smart school, right? But that certainly was not the case with Blake Martinez. He's got an edge to him. He's going to play with some swagger. He's got great intensity on the field and a little bit off the field, too. He's very, very confident. And, you know, he's smart and instinctive like you would expect from a Stanford football player. I think physically, though, he's a little bit limited. He does a great job of working with the skill set that he has, though. I think he does a great job of maintaining his leverage. He reads the plays well. You know, this isn't a guy that's going to be able to cover running backs out of the backfield one-on-one, but I think he's a guy that can excel in zone coverage. He's a little bit of a short strider. So, again, the athletic ability isn't all there, but he makes up with it for his football IQ, his toughness, his swagger, his leadership ability. This is a guy that's no doubt going to help on special teams, and I think he could eventually grow into a solid contributor as an inside linebacker, but he has to play, I think, as a protected guy in the box, because I think he needs to still get better at being able to shed the blocks and get off those blocks the point of attack.
The Packers also selected Martinez's teammate, Kyle Murphy, and obviously as a sixth-round pick, his odds are a little longer, but he comes from a program that churns out a lot of offensive linemen. Do you think he has some versatility to play more than just offensive tackle, can also play in the interior?
Obviously you'd like to say yes to every prospect, but Murphy, I think maybe he could because he has the ability to move in space. You see him get to the second level a lot in the running game, like a lot of those Stanford offensive linemen did. He formed a great duo with Josh Garnett, the left guard, who ended up going to the 49ers in the first round. Because of his ability he's shown to move in space, I think he could maybe slide inside and be one of those pulling guards that his partner Garnett was so good at. But Kyle Murphy kind of got labeled as a right tackle only, and I'm not sure that that's a label that you really want to put on guys anymore because the league has changed where even these pass rushers going against your right tackle are explosive and fast and can bend the edge. So you want a right tackle who can really protect in pass pro as well. Murphy's got to improve in that department, and he certainly looks the part and he plays well versus the run, but can he really set the edge? He doesn't have that lateral ability that a Jason Spriggs has. He struggled, I think, with more athletic pass rushers and sometimes struggled against the bull rush to really anchor. So he's got to get stronger. So maybe he is a better fit as kind of a pulling guard. But if the Packers ask him to do that, I'm sure he'll be willing to do it. He's a guy who's willing to do all of the dirty work at Stanford. He was a very great guy attitude-wise down here in Mobile. So he'll do anything that's asked of him. And I don't think there's any doubt that he can do it adequately, but I think if you really want him to grow into a starter, I think you really need to groom him at the right tackle position.
Finally, I think Geronimo Allen is an interesting story because he was an injury replacement at the Senior Bowl. Patrick, can you go through how that happened and how a player might be on your radar but doesn't get an invite, but then you need somebody to step in at a moment's notice?
Well, yeah, Geronimo Allison out of Illinois certainly had a good trying game performance. That certainly helped his case a little bit. But he was a guy that was always on our radar. A lot of these players, they never really get off our radar. It's really hard once a player stands out to you, it's really hard to forget about the guy. He's always kind of stuck in your head. Phil and I are always kind of trying to think ahead of, okay, if we lose a player at this position, who's at the top of our list? Who can we get here? And I think that's maybe the part that the fans kind of overlook is the fact that we need to be able to get the guy here. And some of these players are training all across the country. For a guy, if you're a guy that travels, you know how difficult it can be to get from California down to Mobile, Alabama at a moment's notice and get here in less than a day and be able to hit the practice field as soon as possible. And, Mobile, Alabama, unfortunately, is not an easy place to get to. So a lot of the guys that are training down in Pensacola, Florida, which is a nice 45-minute to an hour maximum drive in. I would certainly give an edge to those guys. We encourage a lot of the players to train in Pensacola so that they're closer in proximity so that we can get them in on game week. But I think moving forward, something that we would like to do is be able to have extra bodies from the start. This happens to us every year when we go through 117, 115 players because of some injuries. I think if we were allowed to expand our rosters to 120 and maybe start with that number, it's very rare for us to go over 120 players. So I think if we were allowed to bring in 120 players from the start, we'd have enough bodies and we'd already be prepared for these injuries. We'd already have the guys in Mobile. So not to say that Geronimo Allison wasn't deserving. He absolutely was, and he probably would have been a replacement player regardless. But if we could already invite some of these players that we maybe just didn't have room for, and they're already here, they can already get these extra reps in, it's certainly something that we want to look at and maybe get permission from the league to do. But at the same time, we understand that it wouldn't be fair to the NFLPA All-Star Game and the East-West Shrine Game for us to take some of their players well in advance before they even get to go through those two games. So it's a slippery slope, but it's something that we're looking into. But Geronimo Allison came in here. He's got the size. He's got the athletic ability. I think he was just a little bit inconsistent on his tape, but he certainly has the height, weight, speed combination. And those are really the traits that you look for in a wide receiver. So it'll be interesting to see what the Packers can get out of him.
Fantastic analysis on the players, Patrick. Before we let you go, can you kind of describe how you're getting prepared for next year's Senior Bowl and what you're kind of doing now in the next several months?
Yeah, I believe our official watch list date on SeniorBowl.com will be August 22nd this year. I think that's what we're shooting for the public release of the watch list. But we really work off our internal watch list, to be honest with you. I think I've got 732 players right now. The list is going to continue to grow before it's going to get bigger before it gets smaller. But it'll be an extensive cut-down process this summer. And then we also, as I mentioned earlier in this interview, we have a lot of great community events that we do throughout the summer. And I mean, if anybody outside of the Mobile area, unfortunately, you have to be in the Mobile area to attend or be a part of our community events. But for anybody who's at least interested in keeping up with it, obviously, you can follow the Senior Bowl on Twitter and stay in tune with everything on SeniorBowl.com. So the summer's never off. You know, football is a world that never stops, and we're just excited to be a part of a great community that embraces us.
Well, the good thing about this being a podcast, we're not, you know, constrained to like local radio. So we may actually reach some people in the Mobile, Alabama area. You never know. So, but Patrick, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your insight and your analysis and your thoughts on these guys. Keep doing a great job at the Senior Bowl, and we'd love to talk to you next year.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. Certainly appreciate your support of the Senior Bowl. You know, I think, you know, we'd hate to forget that without the support of all the media members out there and the love of the Senior Bowl as an event. You know, we wouldn't have much of an event, so we certainly appreciate you.
Well, thanks much. Take care, Patrick, and we'll see you later then.
Thank you, Brian.
Take care. Patrick Wu of the Senior Bowl joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Really cool interview. Great to get his thoughts on several members of the Packers rookie class that played in the college All-Star game a few months ago and now are on the roster of the Green Bay Packers. But let's continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Okay, so plenty to get to here. The Packers hold their first OTA practices of the 2016 season on they held their first practice on Monday. First practice open to the public on Tuesday. And so, I mean, we'll go through several things here. I got really no set order here, but several notes to get to. You know, I think perhaps maybe first and foremost, fans, the media, whoever, they all got their first look at Eddie Lacy to mixed reviews. Obviously, a lot of attention on him during the offseason with Mike McCarthy and his, basically, I believe, his season-ending press conference calling Eddie Lacy out for being overweight and needing to lose weight. And you know, of course, during the offseason, many photos were leaked of Eddie Lacy, and you could tell, you know, he had lost some weight and things like that. Some reporters, you know, noted his weight loss, which is obvious to see, but others noting that he still has a way to go to prove himself. I know a report at ESPN.com hinted that he weighed in the 240 pound range, about 15 to 20 pounds less than last season. Lacy nor anybody else would neither confirm nor deny the exact figure, wouldn't comment on, you know, yeah, the exact, you know, number that pops up when he steps on the scale. I know the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel even interviewed P90X creator Tony Horton in an article published recently, I think maybe even yesterday. He suggested Eddie Lacy's problems were a poor diet, and now Eddie Lacy is eating healthier, so there's that to think about. But yeah, fans getting a look for the first time at Eddie Lacy, you know, maybe a look that wasn't on social media or whatever, all those photos being released, but finally fans could see for themselves what Eddie Lacy looked like. And he has lost weight, but now he's got to prove it on the practice field and do more than just lose weight for the Green Bay Packers to be a good team in 2016. So we're waiting on that. And some comments on the injury situation of the Green Bay Packers. And by all means, I'm not going to... there's several media outlets covering the Packers. I was not there. All these thoughts are kind of, you know, secondhand. I'm going to provide my own commentary, but as far as the original reporting goes, I got all this information from several sources, from ESPN to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to the Green Bay Press Gazette to Packer Report to... there's others that cover the Packers as well, and I'm not going to cite them all every time I say a player's name, but just know that the reporting is theirs, the commentary is mine. But So injury situations. I think people were interested to see Jordy Nelson, and he was out on the practice field yesterday. He was in, you know, his presence was there, but he wasn't doing a whole lot. Jordy Nelson talked to the media, said he feels good, which is good to hear. But basically, he's limited to individual drills, and Mike McCarthy said that's what he would do. He wouldn't be doing team drills, at least not yet. They didn't seem to really, the Packers or McCarthy was hesitant to say Jordy Nelson wouldn't, you know, participate in team drills the entire offseason. He wants to leave some wiggle room just in case Jordy Nelson is feeling good a month down the road and say it comes time for minicamp and maybe he'll do some stuff then. But, you know, as for right now, they're not pushing anything. When the Packers are going on 11-11, Nelson is not out there. Basically, you know, he's out there doing the stretching. He's out there doing some individual stuff, but that's about where it stops or where it begins, I guess, even. They're just not about to take any chances with, you know, one of the best players on the team. And the same basically goes for Ty Montgomery, also coming off the injury last year that landed on him on injured reserve. And you know, there were several players who it was expected that they would not really participate. And the Packers had, you know, 99% participation, basically. There were several players there who you expected to be limited, like Nelson and Montgomery. And also there was, you know, TJ Lang, who had shoulder surgery in February. There was linebacker Sam Barrington, who was coming off a season on injured reserve. So you didn't really expect these guys during OTAs to be doing a ton. I mean, they're out there. They're at least doing the individual stuff and stretching and things like that. But, you know, they're not taking part in team drills. And then there are the guys who you didn't really know what was happening. And a few of those, the people who were unsure of what's going on, one of them being center Corey Linsley. He was not participating. He was present, like all these guys. Basically, everybody but Sam, cornerback Sam Shields was there. And the reporters even tried to, you know, fight off, you know, any negative concerns, because apparently Sam Shields has been there the entire offseason. He's been taking part in the offseason program. He actually practiced on Monday. These are voluntary, so I don't know if he had something going on where he did decide, you know, he wasn't going to practice Tuesday because of a prior commitment. What that commitment would be, they didn't comment about, but seeing as he's been there, nobody was, you know, about to make a big deal out of it. But he apparently was the only player not present. But everybody else was at least there. But the guys, you know, who were not really doing anything, just there and standing on the sidelines, among them Corey Linsley, that one was a little bit of a head scratcher because he's not commented on the situation. And then, you know, because, you know, practices are technically voluntary, the coaches and the staff, you know, they don't release injury reports at this time of year. Nobody is obligated to talk about injuries. And Mike McCarthy basically said he has no long-term concerns, which is good. So there isn't anything like apparently being hidden here, or at least I don't think there is, according to Mike McCarthy. You know, and even if this would be something that would keep them out the entire offseason, as long as they're back by training camp, that's really all you can ask for the most part. But just keep an eye on this for Corey Linsley out there. A couple of the other names who were at least limited or standing on the sidelines were safety Morgan Burnett and cornerback Quentin Rollins. Those were a couple of other of the head scratchers out there. If you were expecting to see new free agent signee Laurenti McCray, you were out of luck. He was not practicing either, or he was at least limited. don't really know what's happening there. That's a little bit disappointing from the fact that, you figured the Packers weren't going to sign damaged goods to begin with. So I don't know if he got hurt during the offseason program or what happened there. Several of the players who took part in the rookie orientation camp were not practicing as either. Those were wide receiver Devontae Robinson, cornerback Randall Jett, and tight end Casey Pierce. They took part in rookie camp. So, I mean, why weren't they practicing during OTAs? I'm not sure. Again, nobody would comment on these situations. But it's one of those things where the Packers at this time of year are going to err on the side of caution more often than not, just because it's not worth pushing it and injuring these guys even further, further damaging them, making things worse than they already are. If they just got to take a few practices off to get right, then that's what they'll do here in the, May time frame. Not even June yet, technically. So the Packers are not going to take many chances. So there's kind of your injury update and what we know about the players. And hopefully, we'll see them out on the practice field again next week. And maybe we'll see a little bit more out of these players then after they've had some time off. Hopefully that'll be the case. But we'll continue to monitor their situation. Other Packers news. John Kuhn, Mike McCarthy basically was the first person from the Packers organization to comment on John Kuhn when he was asked about him in a press conference. No Packers representative had gone on the record, to talk about Kuhn, at least since, the report came out that the Packers have moved on. Mike McCarthy basically left the door open to John Kuhn returning, but didn't exactly indicate it was a foregone conclusion that the Packers would sign him either. So he's kind of in limbo, and John Kuhn's locker is reportedly gone. That according to beat reporters, for the Green Bay Packers. I would tend to think the Packers are not going to sign John Kuhn, but it's one of those situations. They're sitting here waiting. I mean, knock on wood, but I mean, if all of a sudden Aaron Ripkowski suffers an injury, yeah, they would probably sign John Kuhn, and that's what they're kind of waiting on and don't really want to commit one way or the other right now, but wait to see if Ripkowski makes it through the offseason. And then they can worry about, maybe closing the door on John Kuhn then perhaps. So at least Mike McCarthy commented on him, and that's where they are right now. Other Packers news. Both defensive lineman Mike Pinnell and cornerback Dimitri Goodson addressed their suspensions for the first time in the media, although neither would say specifically what they tested positive for. I do get the idea that Goodson, basically he hinted it was not for a recreational drug. As for Pinnell, I couldn't really read the tea leaves, although they both, they talked about it with the media. Goodson said he was sorry to the Packers, to the fans, to his family. Pinnell said he learned to follow the rules. So they talked about it. In their first opportunity to meet the media since coming back from the off season, at least they stood up and addressed it. But we don't really know what exactly they tested positive for. And I don't know if we'll ever really know, because it's kind of incumbent upon them to tell the truth or be forthcoming. And they haven't really done that. Although they're not required to do so either. So it's kind of their own personal choice, but they at least addressed it. Other Packers news, Green Bay is apparently in consideration to host the NFL draft in 2019. According to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, who talked to Packers president Mark Murphy, The Packers apparently not in the running to host any of the next two NFL drafts in 2017 and 2018, neither of which have been assigned yet, but they probably will be soon. But the Packers in the running to host the NFL draft in 2019, and you know what? That makes sense to me because I think what the NFL is waiting on here is for the Packers' Titletown district to fill out a little bit. Yeah, it's supposed to open in 2017, but that is just the basically the three main anchor businesses that have committed to being there. The brewery, Hinterland Brewery, and the Bellin Sports Medicine Clinic, and the luxury hotel that's going up. So those are your three main businesses, and those are all committed to, you know, opening in 2017 at the start of the season. But basically, the Packers have a lot of room left to fill, especially right along Lombardi Avenue. They're going to have room for several, you know, business space. Whether that's some boutique shopping or what have you, it's really kind of in the open right now as to what the Packers do. And I think maybe by 2019, there will be a chance for them to open up a little bit more there. And I think that's going to be more appealing to the NFL. Obviously, these businesses aren't going to be the size of the brewery that's going in or the hotel, just more retail space and things like that. But all together, added together, it's just going to be a bigger part of the Titletown District and something for incoming fans to do and see and shop and provide them with more, perhaps more food and drink and whatever. So looking forward to that. And anyway, when exactly the NFL, you know, makes these decisions, we're not really sure, but yeah, it could be really cool. I think the Packers are a good candidate because, you know, I think they've always wanted to, you know, they're part of the league's history. You know, obviously one of the most tradition-laden teams, and I think people would love to see a Super Bowl in Green Bay, hypothetically, but it's just never going to happen because of the cold weather and more than that, because of all the hotel space that you would need for incoming media and even more fans than usual around a big event. But the NFL draft, they can handle. You know, they can already handle a regular season football game, so they can handle an NFL draft. Yeah, you're probably not going to get quite as many people as you would in Chicago, just because Chicago is a huge metro area and just the locals are going to come out, and not as many locals are going to show up in Green Bay just for comparative size, but they can handle it, especially by 2019. There's already new hotels going in. They've got, you know, they've really got the space to do it. They've got the nice arena, the Rush Center, where the draft proper can be held, but they can hold other things at Lambeau Field in the Titletown District and you know, kind of across that expanse stretching from place to place, from the Titletown District all the way to the Rush Center. They got all the room in between and the parking lots, whatever they need to set up. The Packers, I believe, can handle it. And I think it's only, I'm not sure if it's a given they're going to do it in 2019, but I think it's definitely very possible. And that was an interesting thing that came up on social media on Tuesday. Finally, the Packers Hall of Fame presenters were announced. And just quickly to run through them, Russ Winnie III presenting his grandfather, Russ Winnie, a former Packers broadcaster. But as far as players go, offensive line coach James Campen will be presenting, tackle Chad Clifton, and fan favorite Charles Woodson in presenting safety Nick Collins into the Packers Hall of Fame this summer. So those were just made available earlier this week, the presenters, and as we're getting ready for Packers training camp. But anyway, continuing on.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, today after awarding the Super Bowls on Tuesday. So yeah, Super Bowl is going to be held in Atlanta in South Florida and Los Angeles in, I believe, 2019, 2020, and 2021. The NFL Spring League meetings wrap up today on Wednesday, and usually you can expect a press conference by Commissioner Roger Goodell as the way to wrap those things up. So look forward to that in the media. The Packers have been in attendance at the league meetings and will continue to be so, but they end on Wednesday. The Sport and Society Conference concludes with a panel discussion at Lambeau Field live at 9:30 a.m. Central Time. So right after this show, if you're interested in continuing to listen to sports talk and sports discussion, they are streaming this on live stream. So the exact same platform, the live edition of Railbird Central is streamed on. You can go check it out. I know you can find more information at snc.edu. This is the event hosted jointly between the Packers and St. Norbert College. But yeah, there's a panel discussion, including some interesting people here on the panel. Former Packers offensive lineman Aaron Taylor, who's now an analyst for CBS Sports. He's one of the personalities. Business reporter Darren Rovell of ESPN, and also WNBA All-Star Anna DeForge. She's from the area. And they'll all be discussing topics on sports, and I believe it's sports and the student-athlete that they're kind of, you know, discussing from an academic standpoint. So check that out if you want to. And that ends the Sport and Society Conference. It concludes today. Finally, the Packers hosting an open house at Lambeau Field tonight for nonprofits interested in selling concessions at Lambeau Field and raising money for your nonprofits. This is hosted by Green Bay Sports Service, which basically runs the concessions at Lambeau Field. So that's being held tonight from 5:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. If you're a nonprofit, whether, you know, I know it's popular for, you know, athletic programs like high school athletic programs. If you're a coach or an administrator at a local high school and you were interested in fundraising and manning a concession booth at Lambeau Field, something like that, you can probably do that. So you may look into that. Check it out at greenbaysportservice.com. I know there's more information there. But yeah, that's all being held tonight at Lambeau Field. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Patrick Wu of the Senior Bowl for being our guest on today's show. And my call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask, this show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating and a brief little review. And thank you to those of you who already have. We greatly appreciate it, but it helps us get the word out about the show because it's free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. And we think if you could do this in return, that's kind of one small thing we ask. So thank you. And that'll do it. Have a good Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back again on Friday talking Packers football one more time this week. And so we'll see you then. I leave you today with a song called Made to Measure by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.
Please excuse